Next normal is to be at home.
Een nieuwe normaal, wij studeren thuis.
So, when you think of the past few months from a student's perspective, in three words, what describes the situation?
Mostly flexibility, togetherness, and transparency.
Adaptation, social isolation, digitalization.
Hectic, challenging, new.
It's time for a new episode of Next Normal, We Study at Home, our podcast about what it's like to be studying right now, at this time in Europe, and what it should be like in the future. My name is Laura Eickbrecht. I am doing this podcast together with Patricia Bonodo, my colleague at the Cooperative State University Baden-Württemberg in the southwest of Germany. We're part of a research team, Next Education, and there we deal with the future of higher education. And in this podcast, where we already talked to student representatives from Slovenia and Romania, we're talking to students and student representatives all over Europe about their study experiences in those last very weird months for everybody. But most importantly, we want to find out what we can learn from this to create a better future of higher education. We have a partner, which is the European Students Union. They're supporting us with finding the contacts to talk to for this interview. We're talking to student representatives from Belgium. Belgium is a very important country when we talk about European higher education and the European Union and its member states. Lots of decisions are made in Belgium about the future of higher education. But it's not only special for Europe, it's a very special country itself. There's two federal student unions actually in Belgium. We have the FEF, La Fédération des étudiants francophones, and we have the VVS, the Vlaamse Vereniging van Studenten. And we are very happy to be talking to three students that are part of the VVS in Belgium. In this interview, we will learn a lot about student engagement and participation. And we will hear a lot of ideas about European mobility, virtual mobility, which is a very crucial subject in times of a European shutdown of borders and mobility. Welcome, Ruben, Jens and Laura.
I'm Jens Mathé. I'm currently studying at the University of Antwerp. I'm student business engineering and I'm president of the student council of our university. And as well, I'm a representative in the European University Alliance, where our university takes part in.
And my name is Ruben Janssens. I'm a student of computer science engineering at the University of Ghent. I was also very active in the student union in Ghent. And last year, I was the European representative of the Flemish Union of Students.
I'm Laura Rimeri. I'm studying to become a paralegal, but actually it falls under business studies in our college. So I study at Karel de Grote University College. I'm the chairwoman of the student council. I was last year and I will be next year. And I'm also part of the Flemish Union of Students.
You're studying in a special form of higher education institution, right?
Yeah, in Belgium we have two types of bachelor, so professional bachelor and an academic bachelor. With a professional bachelor degree, you can start working straight away. So that's what I'm doing.
Interesting that one of you mentioned togetherness and the other one social isolation. So maybe we can hear a bit on your thoughts about how you chose those words.
It's the biggest challenge, I think, to remain socially connected to everybody, especially when you have to stay at one place and not really aren't able to see everybody in real life. But at the same time, we're all together in this. We all have to adapt. So that gives a lot of togetherness as well.
Well, and for social isolation, I think we have different media. We are connected every second of the day. But still, we are lacking in this crisis the corridors to meet each other, and we are really lacking the small talk. You just start to communicate with people when you have a certain message to share or something to ask. And for me, it's really a point of social isolation.
In my school, we work with a module system. So every 6 weeks, we have exams. A lot of decisions had to be made really quickly everywhere, but in our case, double the decisions had to be made. So that was pretty hectic.
So the exams that you do, online exams, actually?
The rule was, or like the kind of main principle, first year students take exams on campus as much as possible, so the traditional way. But for the second and third years, most exams were online, varying degrees of supervision.
I think in the last weeks you've had some more measures coming back, some more lockdown measures because numbers have risen, etc. But I would like to hear about in the university and for students how the situation is right now. If you already have some news about how the next semester or semesters will take place.
Well, there is planning to have a mix of physical and virtual meetings the upcoming semester. But right now, students don't know what to expect since it became worse since last exam period.
It's pretty similar here for the exams as well, that it will be just in very large rooms that the exams take place, again, just like in June. And for the next semester, it will be mostly like very flexible, a bit like an accordion system. I heard somebody call it, like in some periods, it will be the measures will be a lot stronger because of the pandemic. So it will mostly change throughout the semester, as far as I understand it. And also my university has some new kind of concept for the first year students to make sure that they're not socially isolated. And it's called a study online on campus. All the first year students are assigned to a group, a small group of like 20, 30 people. And they have a physical space in the city where they can study together, participate in the online activities together, and have like a study coach to make sure that they're not socially isolated in their first year. I don't know how that will turn out, but it will be a lot of new stuff in the next semester as well. My sister's, for example, starting higher education just next year. And it's a big question, like, how do I make friends if everything is going on online? It's difficult for us already, even as experienced students, to keep in touch with our friends. Then how difficult must it be to actually make new friends and meet people?
The last communication from our college was that they were going to try to have classes take place on campus as much as possible. They call it a hybrid campus in a school that focuses more on the practical teaching. It's kind of important that you're there in real life to actually do those things and get that hands-on experience. Yeah, I live in Antwerp. We just got a present from our mayor with a new lockdown light. I don't know how that's changing their plans.
Antwerp is like the most affected right now.
Yeah, it was a shock because the numbers were rising, especially in Antwerp and Brussels, but then all of a sudden we had to go back inside and we didn't expect it.
So when we think of digitization and studying before the shutdown, can you just explain a bit the situation before the shutdown?
At our university, the virtual ways of education were more to support the physical meetings. For example, we had small videos about the difficult parts of courses, which we could repeat a few times.
For us as well, it's mostly supportive. Well, it was never to replace the actual courses. It was just if you couldn't make it or you wanted to rewatch the course. Some courses also had some like digital online exercise tracks. It was just some exceptional courses that had something like that. But of course, those had it the easiest to switch over to online education.
Before the shutdown, it didn't really happen. Sometimes if online classes took place, usually they were pre-recorded as well, and they would be deleted after a week or something. It wasn't a standard. It was more an exception to the rule. That also made it a bit more difficult making the switch because not really anyone really used it regularly.
We've heard a lot of aspects about the past months. There was a lot of stress for some students, but we also see that when digitization is not something new that has to be learned within a few days, schools were less overwhelmed with introducing digital teaching. Now, after the first semester in the lockdown, there's also little time of assessing and evaluating. Did it actually work to study this way? And what could we learn personally from this?
So digitization or studying in times of shutdown, it worked well for you or does it actually work?
In my opinion, it's more like a digitalized physical education or something like that. We had a few courses which were really just to learn at home, made with exercises, small videos, also a forum to share some questions with your peer students. Right now it's more like the physical way of education, just putting a film set on it. In my opinion, it's not like digital education like it should be.
I agree with Jens that the way to do it is not to just transfer the way we would do it physically into online, but if we adapt a bit more and choose a new, different digital way, then it can be quite positive.
I feel like it also depends per course. Other courses were just really difficult online. For example, economics, doing the exercises when you only have one screen and you can't do the exercises on the board next to the presentation you're showing. But overall, I do feel like classes were taught as best as they could and exams were adapted to the situation. We can't expect this from you, so we're going to adjust our expectations in what we're asking of you.
Oh, it sounds like there was more work than usually.
Yeah, that's true. Also, our college asked, if possible, to switch from an exam to an assignment, meaning a lot of exams were dropped, but a lot of assignments were created. And like I said, we work in a module system. So in 6 weeks, getting, let's say, like 5 extra assignments is quite a lot of work.
Do you see that from the beginning until now that there has been improvement in online teaching with your teachers?
I wouldn't really call it improvement, but I think they're more open to it now. I think they really saw it as a temporary fix at the beginning, but now they realize, yeah, we're going to have to do it for a longer while and it's going to be something we have to implement in the future. I feel like now they're more open to it. We not only have the student council for the whole of the college, but we have student council per course. And a lot of the student councils per course are looking for ways to implement the online teaching in the future, whether or not there's a crisis going on, because they do see the benefits.
Back to you personally. Are there things you learned or skills you acquired in the past month?
I made a switch in my head for doing meetings digital, because in the beginning it was really difficult to have the same level of trust. Before, I would really postpone a discussion or a meeting to a moment when we were able to meet physically. And now I'm more like, okay, I'm taking Teams or I'm taking Skype, and I'm supposing that kind of meeting would be effective as well.
Something else I learned was mostly to stay focused and work efficiently while staying in one location, because often I rely on the external pressure of being in a library or being between people. I also had to write my master's thesis this semester, and student organizations also provided some kind of like online library. So it was, I think, a Discord platform or something where people could study together via video, and things like that definitely help.
I can totally relate regarding the home office.
I definitely improved my time management, studying on one hand in the assignments and the exams, but also, like I said, being chairwoman of the student council. All of a sudden, I had a lot more responsibilities and I had a lot more work than you normally have. So I definitely learned that. I also learned that I'm really easily distracted. I kind of knew that before, but having to follow a 3-hour class online definitely challenged me. And I've always been a deadline worker, but being at home and having nothing else to do, for once I finished my assignments on time and I realized it's actually a nice feeling. Maybe I should do that more.
As already said, Belgium is a very crucial country when it comes to Europe and European higher education. When we talk about this, we automatically talk about European mobility, Erasmus Plus programs, etc. And of course, we talked about that in the interview.
Jens, you said that your university is part of the European Universities Initiative. I think that also touches another very important subject when we talk in a European context, which is mobility and exchange, physical exchange, Erasmus exchange, etc. What are your thoughts on that? Is it possible to have mobility online?
I had the chance to go on an exchange in the first semester of this academic year, so just before the lockdown. However, I think there's still a chance, because we'll still have to live with this virus for quite a time. It's not because it's online education that it wouldn't be valuable as an exchange from here, from at your home university. It's also very interesting and possible to have education together with people from another university. It also can be very qualitative and interactive education. So I definitely think that exchanges will still continue, and maybe we'll even have more exchanges, because the barrier between you have to go to another country or you have to stay here and do nothing of exchange, it won't be so binary anymore. Because of online and digital education, there's a lot more possibilities in between those two.
It's super, super valuable. But I think also for Erasmus and summer schools and every kind of exchange, it's not only about the courses or like the really assets of the courses itself. It's more about learning how to get socially in touch with people, having a cross-cultural relationship. There are a lot of new challenges popping up right now. I think also it will be a kind of stimulus for doing exchange when you don't have to make the whole plane travel to another country. So if we can have solutions for those skills learned at the exchange, I think we're talking about a new way of having international experiences for students.
Okay, thank you. That's very interesting, very inspirational.
One thing I heard from a friend who was supposed to go on Erasmus right now, and she's allowed to go, but she said, I don't really want to go to a different country to quarantine there. I'm going there for the experience and to meet new people and to learn how to be independent and all those things. I'm not going to learn those things sitting inside a whole semester. So I feel like it is going to hold back a lot of students. But on the other hand, I feel like it has created stronger bonds between students also. And I feel like if you go abroad right now, it either can really bring strong relationships and strong connections because you are so dependent on each other, or it's going to go the other way and you might get isolated because you can't really go out and meet new people. You can't really explore the countries either. I feel like in European mobility, part of the independence is going somewhere and then going out to other places, traveling more by yourself. And that also kind of gets limited. Overall, it's going to be a negative impact. We are going to see a decrease, and that's really unfortunate because it is one of the strong points of being a student in Europe, obviously. One of the courses we really struggled with this year was IBS, International Business Studies, because a lot of the students went home once the lockdown was announced. They live in Asia, they live in Australia, they live in South America, in America, like everywhere. And then exam time came and people had to take exams at like 4 a.m. in the morning because they're scheduled at like 8 a.m. here. Just international mobility, it's like a couple of students in a course, but when you have a course that's really focused on international students, that is a problem, of course.
There's a lot of great ideas and perspectives that our students shared with us, and we proceed in our podcast with that very positive spirit of approaching the current challenges.
Let's stick to this topic. When you reflect on the past month and think about the good things you have experienced, think about things that are working really well or positive surprises you experienced, please share.
I had a lot of tutorials online on Blackboard with like a chat window, and a lot of questions were popping up there. When I compare that to previous years, when I was sitting in the aula itself, it was more like one direction of information exchange. The students are feeling more comfortable sharing their questions or comments on courses. That is like a new way of interaction and putting up the level of the education itself. I think as well at some level the virtual meetings are more personal. For example, I know I was in like a meeting with a professor for my bachelor thesis, and at the moment their kids were running to the screen, so you have really insights in the personal life of that lecturer. It made maybe the faculty and the staff more human. It's like you're discovering more aspects of people itself rather than just giving you education a few hours per week.
I'm working on my master's thesis this semester, and normally I would have every 2 weeks a meeting with the professor, and now because of it was online and he had a lot of meetings cancelled, we moved it up to every week. But then one time we had a meeting and then suddenly he just starts laughing out of nothing, looks in his room, and he said, I'm sorry, I need a moment, but my son just walked in and he shaved all of his hair off. And that's exactly the same as what you said. You have a lot of insight in the personal life of your professors, and that makes it, a lot more personal.
I'm lucky I have a direct line of contact with the headmaster. And remember one day sending her an email saying, students are getting too many emails and too many information. It's great that everyone is communicating and everyone knows what's happening. But if it happens in this way, nobody's going to open their emails and nobody's going to know. And the next day, she had already fixed it. She sent out a guideline to all of the heads of the courses. That was such a surreal moment of, I just, as a student, emailed the headmaster and she fixed my issue in like 2 seconds. That was really crazy. and realizing that she really cared, especially being in the Flemish Union of Students and noticing that in other colleges of it, or in other universities, it wasn't going that well, or students weren't being heard as much. That really made me appreciate that more.
Student unions all over Europe are striving for more solidarity and democracy when it comes to creating higher education. And we want to hear about that from our interview partners.
I read a bit about the VVS, which your student unions are part of, and that one of their main subjects is also to stimulate more democratic teaching and studying. Would you say that might also be an impact of the situation right now? Teaching and studying become more democratic because maybe the relationship is changing between student and teachers?
Maybe in some way it is, but also it isn't, because not everybody has the same access to the internet, to a space where they can work from home. And I think that's something we've definitely seen that makes it less democratic during this lockdown. There's also people who live in a house where, yeah, education isn't the priority. If they have to do it all at home all the time, they don't really get a chance because, yeah, their family maybe doesn't see that it is a priority. Maybe the being it more personal and making it a lot more flexible makes it better for some students, but it's also some students that are worse off, I think.
Do you have some more remarks on that, on the subject of equal opportunities or inequalities, inclusive teaching, etc.?
Well, students have been asking for more lecture recordings at my university for a very long time, because it allows especially people who are committed to other stuff, like student representatives or people from student organizations, makes it so you can make your own schedule a bit better. And I hope that's something that will continue in the future as well.
Up until the week before the lockdown started, I highly doubt that anybody really knew who I was outside of the members of the student council. They figured out really quickly, though, after the crisis started. I saw that in our elections for the next year, more people were candidates, more people voted in our student elections, which is really crazy. It was really fun. It was really good because they realized it is important to have those voices heard of the students in the college, in the institution. And also people coming together in those student councils per course, like people enrolling that never would have done that before. Yeah, it was really nice to see.
I also feel like maybe from the other side, like administration and professors, etc., they see like maybe more the point of listening to students and of talking to them in that situation where nobody has any clue to talk to those who are really affected and who can evaluate if it works or if it doesn't.
We already heard about some positive surprises and some visions that we can take for the future. And that's where we want to look now as well and ask the students what a better future higher education could look like.
With all that we learned in the past months, how can we create a better future of higher education?
Well, I think one of the primary things that we will learn is that we will value the physical lessons and the physical gatherings a lot more, that we will also learn to do online lessons and digital education where it's possible, and make sure that the moments when we're actually physically together at the university on campus are much more valuable, and those are actually the moments when we need it to be, and just focus those moments on the ones where interaction is actually necessary to make sure that in the end we can have a lot more flexibility.
Also, I think when you have some virtual tools to assist students and track students' process, lecturers can focus on the vulnerable students as well. Some lecturers are really holding close contact to their students, and at that way they feel more comfortable, I think, to ask some feedback or also some help. In that way, I think virtual lessons in the future will be perfect to help students who really need it. And also to identify those students.
We've seen in the past few years already that things like learning analytics and digital education is growing a lot, but I think that will only grow even faster now. At least I hope so personally, that we will get a lot better technology to be able to follow students and guide students online to make sure that we have a lot more personalized feedback individually for every student automatically, but also that we learn how to use those things well that it doesn't become a mass surveillance tool.
I heard from the social department of our university that the more introvert students are really, really comfortable now because they just lost the constant pressure to make new friends, to introduce new social contacts. At the other side, the more extrovert students are really now lacking their social contact. So I think at that point, there's a new group of extrovert students who were maybe in the future the group to help or to give social support as well.
Online teaching is something that has been talked about at our college, but it's always been like, oh, we'll see, we'll have time, we'll make it work later. Now they really see the importance and the benefits that it can give. On the other hand, obviously, there's a reason classes were in class and on campus for so long. We have to find a way to merge those two together and see what works and what doesn't. The changes were long overdue, and I'm really excited to see them happen. Also, the change from exams to assignments, for example. What are the benefits of an exam over an assignment? I feel like those are really important questions that are being asked right now and we should definitely look into.
What skills actually do we need to successfully study in the future, and how can we actually promote them?
When it comes to specifically learning analytics and guiding students online, I think it's very important that we use that technology with care to make sure that the students aren't overwhelmed by online education. And also from the point of view of students, well, actually also lecturers, I think the work-life balance is something that's become very difficult this time. We live in an overstressed society as well. Before the lockdown, even work-life balance was one of the big words, even outside of education. But now, even as students as well, we see that it's very difficult to make the switch of now I'm working, now I'm studying, and now I'm, well, still at home, but I can actually rest. And I think that's one of the big skills that we need to learn.
The last period really highlighted the independence one. But also being able to connect with other students, because you really need that support network of friends, people you can go to.
From your organization's view, what are the primary issues and concerns for the future?
Well, one thing from student participation point of view is the student participation itself, because we had to change a lot of things very quickly, and often the student representatives, they weren't involved, but also the students in the courses themselves, that's also very important. Also on the university level, we sometimes saw that the new measures, the new restrictions were communicated to the press before they were communicated to the students. So that transparency and that inclusion is something that we definitely still have to focus on.
Yeah, students are really feeling gigantic workload since the lockdown has happened. Student participation is one of the first things we will be under pressure on that, because yeah, students are in the first place students, but participation in student councils, but also in student association or student organization is really important of the life at the university as well.
I really hope that we don't stop exchanging internationally as well. We saw as well in many international online meetings that we can just do it very easily via Zoom or anything else. So I think that should be an encouragement to actually meet internationally more instead of less in the next few months.
Yeah, in my utopia of higher education, the virtual mobility will just be the normal and will be the basic, and the really more deep international experience will be the physical mobility.
Problems that we highlighted in our college were solved rather quickly, but they were all short-term problems. There hasn't been a lot of time to think about, okay, but how are you going to do this next year? What are we going to do in the future? Like, how do we move on from this? Like, we had this really weird year. How is this year going to affect our studies going forward, and how is it going to affect the studies of students who are starting right now, who are starting next year?
I want to share a personal feeling. I realized that I'm really personally dependent on support of other students, and I didn't know that.
You talked earlier as well about what's missing still from international exchanges, and that's the cultural, the social aspect. And that's exactly the same. I think what we miss right now are the corridors to just informally discuss something or to get to know each other better. And if we can have more space for that online as well, and I think that's absolutely possible, then we can have a even richer online exchange and interaction.
Seeing more people being interested in student participation and more people engaging themselves, just start within your course and make sure your voices are being heard, because sometimes students are complaining that things aren't going well, and then you ask them what steps they have taken and they say, oh, none. We've just been talking to each other about it. Yeah, that's not going to help. That's not going to change anything. Again, like the past few months have really highlighted how important it is to have your voice heard. So please do. It only helps. It only brings good things.
We finish as we started. The ideal future higher education in 3 words.
International, connected, and inclusive.
Flexible, connected, yeah, and also inclusive.
New, diverse, yeah, and connected. Like I said, we learn from each other as students, as student representatives. Colleges and universities can also learn from each other, and I hope that really happens right now, and they find that connection.
Next Normal, We Study at Home is a podcast produced by the Next Education Working Group around Ulf Daniel Ehlers, Patricia Bonodo and Laura Albrecht from the Baden-Württemberg Cooperative State University Karlsruhe in Germany, strongly supported by the ESU, the European Students Union.
Next Normal is to be at home.
Nieuwe Normaal bij studeren thuis.